All right, we are live recording. Yeah, please turn on your mics when you speak.
I'm Dan Weaver, the chair of the advisory board. Kevin, you want to go next?
Kevin Tyler, Clark County Public Works.
Eric Fuller, advisory board.
Jenny Oak County Public Works.
Terry Gardner, Town of Yaco.
Neil Chambers, Railroad Advisory Board.
Pearson, Railroad Advisory Board.
Dave Rowe, Advisory Board.
Jim Malinowski, Advisory Board.
Mark Daniels, Railroad Advisory Board.
Jerry Jacobus, Advisory Board.
John Shea.
Former property owner near the railroad Bowman area and supporter of the efficiency of railroads.
Okay, Todd. Barbara Matheson, a resident at Hoban. Randy Williams, Shalachie Prairie Railroad, UICX. Steve Yelski, property owner.
Not here.
I just came with Jim. That's okay.
Hey, who do we have online?
Hello, everybody. I'm new. I'm Jenny Coker, the new Deputy Director of Public Works, and happy to be here and learn more about the railroad.
And it looks like we've got Maggie Dirk from the City of Vancouver, Glenn Young, County Council, Greg Smith, Railroad Advisory Board, Jackie Lane, Jim Malinowski is here virtually and in person, Tim O'Hara, Mark Kersag, Railroad Advisory Board and City of Battleground, and then we've got Zach Keith, also Railroad Advisory Board. Those are all the online members.
Hey, welcome everyone. I guess the first order of business today is to elect officers for the new year. As you know, I'm chairman now and John is vice chairman. So do I hear any nominations for chair?
I nominate Dan Weaver for chair.
If you could use your mic, please.
I move that we reelect our current.
A second.
I'll second that.
Anyone else? Any other nominations? Somebody speak up? Aren't you tired of our ugly mugs up here? Any discussion? It's been moved and seconded to reelect John and I to chair and vice chair. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, I guess John and I are it for another year. Minutes of previous meeting, if everyone read those and approve them. Actually read them, but I left my minutes at home, but I didn't have any comments on them. We accept the minutes as distributed. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. We approve the minutes from the previous meeting. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? They're approved. I have no comments at the current time from the chair. Sorry, I missed the last meeting. So we have no one here from PVJR. So Randy, you want to speak to BYCX?
Yeah, thanks. Happy New Year, everybody. And we finished up a great year.
We had 4,499 passengers at the Christmas, on those four Christmas weekends, compared to about 4,000 last year. So that's a good uptick. We keep tweaking our capacity a little bit for our online sales and still leave room on the train for same day sales. Jerry was our conductor all 4 days or all 4 weekends, did a wonderful job. This year we had something different. One of our members made a large cash donation and hooked us up with a high school jazz ensemble, brass ensemble that played Christmas music. So when the train would come by going out, they would be up there. They had about a minute of exposure on the ramp and they would play Jingle Bells or something. We had a tuba, a trumpet, a clarinet, a trombone.
For a 30-minute break, they would be playing the whole time and got a lot of positive response on it. And so we have our monthly meeting tonight. I'll bring that up. They want to, if our group wants to try to proceed doing that again this year. So, means I'm, yeah. Anyway, she'll have to wait.
Thanks.
Past your load. So we're shut.
The engine shop guys are busy as we're going to start working on this.
It's 1472, 15-year inspection. Get the boiler ready. We've got pretty much everything done except the boiler. And you're on the 1472, it's a calendar year inspection. So once you start putting the tubes in.
Well, they're getting ready to do that. Hopefully we'll see that online this summer sometime. Rail Works has been out to job. They've been good neighbors. Kevin gets down and talks about that. We'll later chime in on that. And I talked to him today. Other things coming out to town is of course just
was it 25th, 26th? Yeah, it's the last Saturday in April. Yeah, and they'll be using our parking lot for stacking all their dumpsters up there. And again, we don't need it. And then that way they'll have a place they can run people through. I think it worked pretty well last year when you did it that way. So that's pretty much all that's going on with us right now, unless anybody has any questions. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Kevin, you want to update us on county activities?
Yeah. So as Randy mentioned, RailWorks continues to work on the bridge repairs. They're wrapping up Bridge 23. Yeah, that should be done shortly. Working on Bridge 20 as well, and planning on starting on Bridge 12 soon.
They had me unlock the derail at milepost, was it 18.4 or something? I went out there this afternoon and unlocked that as well.
Okay. So making good progress on all those bridge repairs. And then the county's continuing to finalize the bid package for the railroad roadbed rehab work, including the painting of the bridge bearings under that bridge over Highway 99. Other than that, county worked on cleaning up a encampment under the Hazel Avenue Bridge that was looking pretty rough and got some garbage and cleaned up out of there, made some neighbors happy. And I think that's it for county updates currently.
And Kevin, on the rehab, is that going to, or are you going to focus on milepost 22 to 24 as we talked about?
Yeah, I'll have to look at the exact milepost numbers and get back to you. The remaining funding, I don't know if we have adequate to do the whole thing, but we're breaking it up into sections so that depending on how bids come in, we can add to that bid package or change order work in a little bit at a time, depending on how much money we have left over once the bridge repairs are done. We've seen some pretty substantial change orders on the bridge repairs. As you pull rotten lumber off of old bridges, you'd imagine that some of it's more than anticipated. And so additional items needed to be replaced along the way. So a little bit of change order here and there on each bridge, driving the cost up a little bit, but not too substantial.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, let's move on to the railroad presentation and open house. I think we're kind of in a holding pattern right now. The I need to talk with the county staff and manager and possibly some of the new board members and find out what the appetite is for moving forward on anything related to the railroad at this point in time. So I have no new knowledge from last time I was here, and I don't think John has picked up anything since then. So it's nothing really going forward at this point in time. John, I think, attended a hearing on the surface mining thing. He can talk a minute about that. Sure.
When is the presentation? Have you got a date for it?
Say again?
When is the presentation for the railroad presentation open house? When will that be?
It's on hold right now. We need to understand what the appetite is for the county to move forward, whether we put effort into that at this point in time or not.
I'd like to add some information to you whenever we let's get together and talk about what we can present. A lot of people don't know what this railroad is. So I think
we understand that. That's part of the whole purpose of it. But if there's no activity with the railroad, then it might take a different tone than.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm talking to, I don't know if it's possible to have a demonstrator railroad go up, like Stadler, which manufactures rail cars, have a demonstration project would run. And I'd think it could go from Salem to Battleground, just have a passenger train that's built by Stadler in the United States and Utah, and have a demonstration run. I just want to see how the committee thinks about that. If I can get enough down in Salem, they're talking about expanding west, which is from Wilsonville or Beaverton to Salem. But with our railroad up here, it'd be good if we can connect through from Battleground to Brush Prairie, Vancouver, on into Portland, down into Salem. And that would be a connection, connecting Clark County with Oregon. And that's kind of a presentation I'd like to throw out there and see if it's possible. I can talk to the manufacturer. They do demonstration runs all over the country. And so
show the public what passenger service would look like in this on our right of way. I think we get a lot of public response.
If you could put together a thumbnail sketch of what that might look like, give it to John and I, or and we'll get a group together and then see if that makes sense from the perspective of a subgroup, and then bring it to the whole group.
Okay. Well, I'm working on it.
Okay. Great. I don't know. We have
can to use see, your mic.
We have to see what it is made up of, and then we'd have to see whether that would fit with what PVJR is doing on the track.
And on the railroad?
I don't at all. So I've asked one of the talk to the county manager and to the possibly or to the county council to see where they. That's what I usually do when we have a new council group coming in and just talk to a couple of them and see what the add-up is and whether there's interest in moving forward with anything with railroad.
Could I add, Eric, you asked, would the railroad appreciate, would accept that? We talked a year or two ago to Eric Temple, if he had any reservations about passenger rail on that line. And he's at that time, he said no.
We're talking about initially with the student. Kind of counteract all of the bad press we've been getting and we'll show the community the value of a freight rail line. You know, just trying to maintain status quo.
Or if we can add passenger, might stimulate some of the public interest.
Good.
Okay, go ahead and tell us about the
surface mining overlay.
Okay, well. You know, last time we talked about, you know, the county had not required an EIS. The environmentalists appealed that to the growth management board. The growth management board sided with the environmentalists saying that they had to do an EIS at the outset because they revealed so much of their plans. This was the hearing for the appeals court. And I don't know if you've ever seen the verbal arguments in an appeals court. There was Christine Cook from the county. There was Jamie Housley for Eric. And there was Dave McDonald for Friends of Clark County. They all got 5 minutes. And so, you know, you can't get into much in 5 minutes. And that included the questions that were coming from the bench. But anyway, they concluded it in 20 minutes, and now we're waiting for a decision. And the last council, what their point was that, look, we spent all this money to get this far. All we got left is the oral arguments, which is not going to cost a lot. Let's see what the result is, and maybe we'll live by that result. If they come out and say that you have to have the EIS up front, odds are the county, especially with the new board, will probably say, okay, you're required to do EIS up front, which will probably require them to do two EIS because going in, you don't know everything that's going to happen on the property. You haven't done many of your drill logs to see where all the rock is. So they won't have a complete mining plan until they get to the permit stage. And when you go to the permit stage, you got to go through SEPA again. And if there's you know, substantial environmental impacts on your permit request, you're required to do an EIS. So I don't think the county's going to appeal this if they lose, and I don't know what the environmentalists do if they lose.
Was there any discussion about where the county's
appeal of the case? The growth manager board is the fact-finding board. So all they're doing now is to see if the court or the growth manager board made an error in law. But, you know, the facts are already there. You
into the argument. It's just like, this is what this law says and they didn't follow it, or this is what this law says and they did follow it. That's what basically, yeah, what it was. Yes, sir.
So do you know what the timeline of them making a decision?
Nope. They didn't say. Usually you can figure a month at least. But, you know, those guys got a ton of cases. And I mean, there's like five cases on this one day that they're going through. I was really impressed that the judges knew what they were talking about. You know, even to,
a lot of things that, you know, you would expect an appeals court to know. So they're on top of it. We'll see what comes up.
So this is basically just to determine required at this time. Is that correct?
Yeah, just all they're asking is to put this under the surface mining overlay district, which basically just is kind of like the overlay we were talking about for the railroad. It doesn't affect the underlying property, but it does allow you additional uses you can apply for. And so once they do that, and typically, I think I said last time, typically when somebody applies to be in the surface mining overlay,
Nothing
normally to study, so it's never required an EIS before. But granted, when they came in, it's 300 page application, and it's got, you know, we're going to move 3 million tons of rock a year, 2.5 by rails, half a million by trucks, we're going to be mining 200 feet deep in the we're going to take out that whole side of the valley. And so they disclose substantial environmental impacts. And the county basically said, well, we don't normally study those impacts up front for two reasons. One, we never have. And two, they're not required to do whatever they say here. This is just to get in the overlay. When they go to the conditional use permit, that's when they're going to be required by the permit. And that's something we can study. And that's kind of the law says that you have to, I don't know, but the argument is that the law says that you have to study the environmental impacts when they're known. And when they disclose all this stuff, those environmental impacts.
And we have no idea what the study would have, what cost to get done post eventually. That's what I thought.
And actually, the first go round probably won't be that involved because there's still a lot of stuff they don't know.
Right.
When they get down to, the thing I see is going to be tough to get over is the noise, because you're up on the side of a hill over a very quiet valley. So there's going to have to be some mitigation for that. And the other thing, there's a lot of dirt that's got to be moved before you can even get to the rock. We saw that when we were out there. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of studies.
Did you mention it to the group that you and I went out there and looked at the area?
No, I didn't.
Something about our field trip.
the dilemma is that if you don't, there's an element of the Growth Management Act that says you want to protect these areas for resources.
Yep.
And the problem you have, in our situation, my dad pioneered the there that divided into 5-acre park. That whole ridge could have been rock because it was really good rock. But because it's been developed into housing, they just according to it, just took a little bit. And so if you're not careful and you allow development on the residential 5-acre development or whatever on top of these rock sources, then you're never going to get to them.
Well, if you look, sand and gravel is more useful than quarry rock for the needs of the county, because you can use it for base rock, you use it for concrete, and you can use it for asphalt. The quarry rock you can use for base rock, you can use it for asphalt, but typically has a higher asphalt oil content, and you can't use it for concrete around here. And this whole valley has 70 feet of sand and gravel beneath the surface, and it's got nothing but houses on it now.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, the east campus of Clark College is in that old gravel pit, and that's been developed, and there'll be no more.
Yeah, Eugene. And then if you look, you have 70 foot of sand and gravel, then you have about 60 foot clay layer, I mean like bottom clay. And then underneath that.
I guess the point is, if you don't protect these kinds of resources, you're going to lose them.
Oh, yeah. It's required by law. Yeah, I think you're supposed to. You know, you're supposed to be able to predict 20 years worth of aggregate in your surface mining overlay, but I don't think anybody's ever really done a study on it.
Talk briefly about our.
Well, we went out to the site where the mine's going to be. It was, two things stood out. One is that it seemed like the rock's a little bit back, and there's probably a 120 foot area that's appears to be dirt, slough from the mountains. And so there's probably half a million yards of material have to be removed from there before you could really get to mine, I think, my opinion. The other thing was that, in the area where we saw where they had to put in those culvert pipes, when Dan and I walked out there, there was four culvert pipes. Three of them were empty, nothing in them, and one of them was running like crazy. And we looked up on the hill, and about 100 yards up the hill, there's a pump. And we walked up to the pump, and you could see the lines going out, into the hillside. And to me, it looked like a dewatering operation. That maybe there's some slippage on that face, and they're trying to keep the water out of it to keep the face from slipping further. I have no idea why you'd have a pump on the side of a hill like that.
Yeah, it was pumping. It was like catching water flow, springs or major springs from several different directions, pumping it into one place and forcing it then through that culvert. So it's collecting the water out of that hillside.
Yeah, no, it's very strange. But we walked all the way up to the top of the hill, and we never really did see a rock face at all.
No rock outcroppings at all. He walked up one place, and I walked up another.
But there's no doubt.
Lit back down the hill.
there's no doubt. There, if you go back, there's rock. It's just how much sand and degraded material sloughed off in the front, and even the where the road level is, it's quite a ways higher than the rail line, because where we were at, you had to look way down to see the rail line. So yeah, there's some work that has to be done.
Okay. Under new business, there's one thing I want to bring up, and hopefully you can tell us what your relationship is with PVJR. Your relationship with PVJR? Yeah. If you just briefly tell us what your relationship is.
So I'm a commercial real estate firm in Vancouver, the Fuller Group, and the Fuller Group has been retained by Eric Temple to market two properties on the rail line for rail service businesses. And we've entered into a contract to do that. And I asked Dan if he thought there was any, quote, conflict of me continuing sitting on the board because of that engagement. And we've come to a layman's conclusion there is no conflict unless somebody thinks that there might be or some other party might think so. So we just wanted to make sure the Fuller Group wanted to make sure that the board was aware that we're under that engagement.
Yeah, it's just selling some properties that Eric Temple has. I guess properties that he has. Does he own them now or has control over the ownership?
I think it's probably under the name of the railroad, but it's Mr. Temple owns the property.
Right. Okay.
Is he selling it or leasing it?
I'm sorry?
Selling or leasing?
His goal is to lease it for rail purpose.
Okay.
So I concluded that there was no conflict of interest in him sitting on the board in that relationship with Mr. Temple. So unless someone has an objection to that conclusion, I'm all for it. So, okay.
So as long as we brought up Eric Temple and, you know, previously they had all the issues with the environmental stuff. Is there any update on that? I mean, it looked like at one time he was, you know, possibly going to be fined or, you know, something along that line, but haven't heard a thing about it. I mean,
yeah, I can speak to that to the extent that I know. So it's my understanding that Eric and PVJR continued to work with the agencies, both Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Ecology, to work towards a voluntary compliance or settlement with the enforcement that was brought against them in those two locations. And then the county had its own dispute resolution process that we still are, again, we're negotiating and working together on getting to a resolution.
Okay.
These things take time.
How long has it been now?
It's been over a year.
Yeah, I was going to say this.
John and I have talked about it, and I have not talked to Eric Temple for some time, and I will call him and talk with him and see where things stand with him and the railroad and the county, and if there's anything we can do to help that process or at any rate get things moving. But if we can be of assistance, we will do that. We've kind of been in a holding pattern. I thought we were done with that holding pattern once they got the contract between the county settled, but now we're back in that same holding pattern.
And there was one question online by Greg Smith. Any idea when resolution will be reached within Clark County? And I think that's a difficult question to answer, but there's positive steps being made on all fronts. So I think it's heading in the right direction.
I've only heard that for 20 years now. Okay. Did you put this on there for the lobbying for the railroad funding?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
That came from David Rowe.
Okay.
Just need a. Yeah, I put that lobbying for.
Get a little closer to that. I can barely hear you.
Is that better? Okay. There's a lot of lobbying going on in Washington and Oregon about river advancement. And I think it would be good if we can get up to Olympia and talk about what we have here in Clark County. This Washoe Prairie Railroad is an asset that not too many people know about.
They're pushing for high-speed rail from Vancouver, BC to Eugene, Oregon, and we're part of that. We have a line that connects on that corridor, and I think we should be part of that conversation. And so there's going to be Environmental Day February 6th. There's environmentalists up there going to be going through the Capitol, and I'd like to be part of that, to get into that discussion with some of our legislators, to let them know what we've got here and how it would help the climate warming situation. So that's, I'd like to say it's okay to go up there and talk about railroad up there.
In what respect do you want to talk about the railroad?
Well, one of the things we've got, IBR is being built crossing the river. They're spending $7 billion to build a bridge to span 3,800 feet of Columbia River. That's a lot of taxpayer money that WSDOT and ODOT is pushing for. They've been pushing it for the last 20 years, but rail, except for light rail, has not been in that discussion, where regional rail would take 25% of those 143,000 trips a day across the Columbia River, could be railroad passengers. If we would just go use the Burlington Northern Railroad Bridge that was built in 1908. So we need to tell the legislators up in Washington that we have this facility that would help climate change. And so we just need to start talking about it and get some of this. I've been against this humongous bridge for the last 20 years. I've been lobbying against it, but they're all dead set against building it and spending $7 billion for this project. But I think we could persuade some of the legislators that they need to go another direction, and using regional rail as part of it, and Cascade trains are part of that too. And if we can improve the railroad tracks we have today that were built, the corridors are built 100 years ago, but they've never really been developed for high performance rail. High performance rail is adding another siding or a passing lane, so passenger trains and light freight trains can pass slower freight trains at 120 miles an hour. So this is what they need to talk about in Olympia, and that's where environmentalists are going to be chiming in to be part of that conversation and try to get money.
I'm happy to have you look at that, but I think that's well beyond our scope of ability. It is a push to get the corridor from Salem or from Portland or wherever to Seattle going, but we're a far cry from being a part of that major corridor. We are a branch line, short line railroad serving a specific area and not part of that mainline. So it's going to be difficult for us to get much benefit out of that in the near future or at all. And we need to devote our time to use of our short line railroad. So I'm happy to see if there's a way you can get that tied into it, but I'm reluctant to devote all of our efforts to that function.
Well, it's a branch line, and a branch line is part of the trunk. And we can feed into with our branch line into the trunk, everybody benefits.
But the freight population base for a passenger train is so small in that branch line, it's not going to add significantly to the benefit of the whole line.
What about 50 years from now?
I don't disagree with you in the long term, but we can't get a freight business up our line yet.
Well, I'm saying we could work with freight, passenger and freight, and go together.
Okay. Yeah.
David, I didn't quite understand if you said you were, I think you said you were opposed to the interconnect. And are you suggesting rail is in lieu of that project?
Rail could be part of that project.
I have no problem advocating for rail in addition to the IRB, but I don't think our board should be on record of being opposed to that project.
Our bailiwick.
No, it's a, I mean, first of all, it's outside our bailiwick even to be part of it, unless that we can get a definite link to us. And we really have to start with us first to get that link to them. So passenger in my mind is far from being something that we can focus on at the current time. We need to get the line in use.
And I think, you know, if you're going to, you can lobby as an individual, but not as representative of the board till, you know, if the board decides they want to go in that direction, we should form some committee to determine exactly how we're going to approach this and what we're going to be in favor of and what we're not going to be in favor of.
Yeah, I understand. I can be on my own. That's acceptable to me.
Okay. I think until we find out what the county is looking at and what Eric Temple is looking at in terms of pushing the railroad, that we need to understand that before we can do much lobbying in Olympia at this time. Do you agree with that, John?
Yeah, I mean, when we go up to Olympia, we got to have a unified voice.
We have to have a unified voice, and we have to have specific projects that we can point to that this is what we need to do now, or we have a series of projects along our railroad that we can lobby for. And John and I both have been up there several times with groups, and you know, they want to look at specific projects that they can get behind. They can write a bill for a project for the line.
Well, the legislature has changed, so we'll see what they're receptive to. And I'll let you know when I come back next month.
Great. Thank you. Anything else for new business?
There was nothing else on the agenda.
Okay. Anything from public testimony?
I'm not seeing anybody raise their hands online.
Okay. Anything for the good of the order? Yes, sir. State your name and.
Michael O'Connell.
Is your mic on?
I'm wanting to ask a question that relates to an article that appeared in the Oregonian a week or so ago, and it was about a meeting arranged and suggested about Stu Marshall, one of the counselors, about land use. It was a land use discussion meeting, and I wondered if somebody could fill me in on that, when it's going to happen. I think it was within a week or so, and it was an invitation to people to come to a meeting and talk about the use of open space and ag land in this area. And I thought, I'd like to know more about that. And if somebody here can inform me about that, I'd appreciate it. I'm going to go back into the Columbian to see if I can find it again. But I thought that someone here might be better informed about the nature of that meeting than I am, or could gather from that article.
I don't know anything about it.
Kevin knows.
I'll have to look into it. Off the top of my head, I'm not familiar with what meeting is coming up where that would be discussed, but we'll look into it and let you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anything online?
Did you have something, Stephen?
Nothing online. Nobody's raising their hands or coming off mute.
Okay. There being nothing else, do I hear a move for adjournment?
I second it.
Moved and seconded, we adjourn. Anybody opposed?
No, no, no.
We're adjourned. Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody. Those of you online, have a good evening.
Ha, 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 ha.